all the hackers and the crackers. To the hackers and the crackers. I see in binary, I speak source code. Step on my toes, I'll post a million JPEGs of you in a fag pose. In your digital stance, getting firewalled ho. Cause I'm riding the net in my 6-4. I was a dick with my 56. Now with my cable, I'm able to get that stable. On the out, my name is Ace and I'm a Leo. On the digital highway, my name is Neo and I'm a hero. In a flash, I'll school you on burning Dreamcast. You need some ISOs? Let me through my hard drive rifle. Our exchange you could never stifle. In a digital hug, you just caught the love bug. I bootlegged your CD. I caused the fight between Un and Jay-Z. You see, G, it's all gonna be free. Whether we take it by force or we take it nicely. You feel that rattle in your bones? When I tell you we just hacked Dow Jones? And NASDAQ leave you flat on your back? Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. Cause I am he who loves to hack and crack. This is dedicated to the hackers and the crackers. Serial code.
Check, check, 1, 2, 1, 2. This is Stank Dog on the microphone, and you are listening to Binary Revolution Radio, episode 62, coming to you pseudo-live on September 14th, 2004. I'm going to try to cut back on the foul language, as I always do, and never succeed at. And to help me in that today is a first time, am I correct? First time co-host on Binary Revolution Radio.
That's correct.
Sub-Zero, welcome to the show.
What's happening?
And, more importantly, let's just get this out of the way up front, welcome to DDP.
Thank you, thank you.
We said last week we had a couple new people joining, had some roster changes. Now you know, if you didn't already figure it out already from the forums and some other things, that Sub-Zero's going to be joining up with us, working on some projects, so we're definitely happy, glad to have him on board. And to start with, why don't you help me co-host the show tonight? How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay, if you would have said no, I would have been screwed. Oh, wait a minute. No, screwed doesn't count as a bad word, does it?
No, it's good, it's good.
Actually, you know what? When they do that on FM, he's probably have to bleep that out.
Screwed?
You know what? I'm going to, let's do a test. Okay, here, this is... This is probably terrible radio for the internet listeners, but I forget them anyhow. Since they're playing this on FM radio now on some channels, and I gave them permission to bleep it out,
yeah.
Let's test and see what gets bleeped out here. Screwed, cocksnot, twat. I have no idea what I can and can't say.
I think there's only like four words that you can say. I think it's like bitch, ass.
But it's all about context and what they determine as vulgar or obscene. I mean, they'll bleep it out if you talk about, you know, oh, I was totally headbanging with this chick last night. If you're some kind of inference to sex, if you just it's the allusion of what you're trying to allude to is considered quote indecent. That's the only definition. Is the quote indecent?
That's anything could be indecent. You could be like, man, I was really lamping my wife last night.
Yeah, exactly. I was giving this chick the bone dance. See,
yeah.
All of this is going to get bleeped on FM radio, I would bet. I would bet. I'm going to ask, you know what, I'm going to start getting some of the bleeped versions after they've been bleeped and listen back and hear how much of it got bleeped out and how terrible the show is on FM.
I can just see it now. The first, like, 2 minutes that we just did is all bleeped.
It'll be funny for me to listen back to, though. And that's all that really matters now, isn't it?
Exactly.
Okay, no, that's a joke. Actually, what matters is you, our wonderful listening audience out on the interweb. The global interweb. So, let's concentrate on them. Let's get back to our normal format of the show. I'm through playing around. What about just a simple word like butthole? Can I say that? I mean, that's not really, really bad. It's not a good visual, don't get me wrong. It's not something, you know...
No, because, like, Beavis and Butthead always used to say butthole, so...
No, they said bunghole.
Oh, they said...
And plus, that wasn't the airwaves. That was that was cable TV. Kind of a different animal. Anyway. Let's get to the housekeeping. Hey, that's going to be really fun to hear how that comes out. I don't know what you can... This whole seven dirty words you can't say, that's all a big myth.
Yeah, because there's more than seven.
Yeah, it's not even that there's a list of words. It's not a list of words at all. It's all about simply whether or not it's indecent. Now, they can choose the, any words or any context or whatever to be indecent whatsoever, even if you don't use any bad words. So it's not the individual words themselves.
Just the way you use them.
Right. So, yeah. I mean, there are some words, I'm sure, that are automatically bleeped and stuff, but still. So, yeah, there have been changes to those laws lately that let them really start handing out big-time fines, which... You know what? I'm going to back off this because I feel myself getting pulled into a free speech rant, and I don't even want to go there. So I'm just going to back off. Let's take care of some housekeeping. Let's do that.
Right, right.
That'll keep me on the straight and narrow.
We can do that later.
Yeah. See, I can see straight and narrow like that. I'm going to stay on the straight and narrow and follow the show. But
yeah,
if I said I was with this chick last night and I gave her the straight and narrow, if you know what I'm saying, then I bet you that gets bleeped out. The same exact phrase probably got beeped out for the connotation that I just put to it. Anyway, all right, no, this time I'm seriously done with this. Okay, let's talk about the gallery.
All right.
Having some issues with the gallery lately. So right now the gallery is temporarily offline. Well, it's not really offline. It's just locked down right now because, well, you know, I hate this. When we put the gallery up, from day one, we intentionally left the thing wide open as far as the ability to upload things. Anybody coming by could anonymously upload to the gallery. Now, anonymously as far as we don't require any registration or accounts to be created and stuff like that. So we allowed people to upload anonymously because, well, for obvious reasons. They have a right to privacy, and we don't want to, you know, if they want to put something up and not be tied to them, I wanted to give people that option. So we've always made sure that the software is up to date. There's no vulnerabilities, you know, that's going to hurt the system or anything like that. However, we do give people the ability to anonymously post pictures, create galleries, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Well, I kind of counted on the hacker ethic for people to just use it and not be complete jerks. But, yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't work out all the time. So some hacksaw wannabe thought that he could be cool by hacksawing the gallery by creating a bunch of galleries in there and naming them and moving them around. And not only that, but when you upload something anonymously, the user that gets assigned to that from the software is everyone. Now, and it's not a problem so much with the software itself. It's just the nature of the way we set it up. We wanted people to be able to upload anonymously. We knew all along that, sure, people could come in and delete it if need be. We knew that from the front get-go, and we allowed it. But people have come in now. When you create something anonymously, it gets created as user everyone.
Yeah.
Well, that means another anonymous user can come behind you and delete that picture that you just put up, or modify it, or change it, or whatever they want to do, because nobody owns it. There's no user assigned to it.
Yeah.
So, I'm actually kind of proud, because it went for a good year or so before people started messing with it.
We had a lot of pictures up there, just random shit, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of really cool stuff, a lot of funny stuff, but... You know, people started uploading these nasty, disgusting pictures into it, which is not, you know, it's a hacker's gallery. It's not a gross, disgusting, rotten.com gallery. So that I wasn't too thrilled with. And people just, like I said, just...
They hacksored it.
Yeah, thinking they're elite hacksaws.
I like how they put that up on their website. I won't mention the website, but
yeah,
I like how they put that up on their website, saying that they hacksored our forum.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, they threw it up on their website, saying that they hacked our forums and that...
The forums? It's not...
I mean
the gallery.
The galleries.
Oh.
Yeah.
In the meanwhile, they don't realize that in our forums, we're sitting there laughing at them.
Yeah. They obviously don't read.
Yeah. Well, they're in South Africa. What do you do? Anyway, so the gallery is up. Don't get me wrong. It's just right now it's locked down until we can go through and give ownership to some of the files because, like I said... You know what? See, here's the thing that I don't like about this. It's not so much that they did it. We knew the possibility exists. But you know what? Just because you have the authority to be a dick doesn't make you a hacker.
Exactly.
You know, nobody hacked anything. It's like you came to the site. You deleted something that was publicly deletable. Where did you hack? Where did you do anything other than just be a dick? I mean, they're going to bleep that out, too. Other than be a complete jerk is what I meant to say.
Yeah. Well, you just got to laugh.
I do, and we're all laughing at him in the forums, and we're watching it happen. I finally said, you know what, I got to lock it because, you know, I don't want to deleting everybody's pictures and stuff, so.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. And the thing is, I don't know if I had the time to babysit it otherwise. So, I went through and changed ownership on the galleries themselves, but I don't have time to go through and change all the pictures. So, I don't know what the future of the gallery is. I don't know if we're going to bring that back up or not. I guess, I mean, email us if you really think that you want to keep that around. I mean, some people used it, others didn't. I really don't know what the future of that is, so.
I think you should maybe just, like, keep one gallery that's open for uploads, and then from there we can, like, decide what pictures get, like, I guess, officially added to the gallery. You
know? Yeah, initially that's what I did before I locked it down. I locked all the galleries except for the one that's for uploading avatars and SIG files and stuff like that. And I was going to leave one open in the personal section for people to create their own personal galleries. But each individual picture has to be gone through, and there's a lot of pictures out there.
Yeah.
And each one of those pictures that was uploaded anonymously over the past year has a user of everyone. So that means everyone or anyone can come through and delete it or change it. So I just don't have the time to go through every single one of those right now. So
maybe that's a project for somebody that's bored out there.
Yeah, hey, if somebody wants to get involved in it, let me know. Maybe we can work something out. But until further notice, it's down. No more registration. People are trying to get their passwords, trying to create new accounts. It's read-only right now. So you can still view all the pictures from Hope and view all the other stuff that's up there. All the avatars and SIG files that are there should still be working fine in the forum, SIG files, et cetera, et cetera. So still working, but it's just, I don't know what's going to happen with it. Also in housekeeping, we have, I had mentioned before I had a little tiny hurricane situation to deal with down here. So magazine orders have fallen behind just a tad bit. But by the time we're airing this episode, I will have shipped everything out. So just give it an extra week or so. Not only did I lose like 4 or 5 days because of the hurricane, after the hurricane, today was the first time I saw the mail coming again. So don't let them fool you with that mess about rain through sleet through snow and hail. Let me tell you what, a hurricane will damn well stop the U.S. mail. It absolutely did, at least slowed it. I think I saw him like come through once in the past week, last week, and then came back today, like catching up, and I guess they'll be back, maybe they're starting back this week regularly, but...
Hey, there you go. Just not pay your bills and say you lost them in the hurricane.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, yeah, give it an extra week or so, more than usual, so bear with us a little bit on that. And let's go into a couple emails here. Let's play our theme music. Yeah, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Okay, now, first email tonight. We've just got a couple short ones. We're going to have plenty of time to talk about our main topic later on, which is law. Law as it relates to hackers and kind of some law in general. But I've got a couple emails to go through first. First one comes from someone with sent from their real name, which, of course, we don't read on the air, who says, "Hi, Stank Dog, been listening to the radio show. Good stuff. Keep it up. Just heard an ep which finished with some bland music. Unfortunately, his website is no more. Do you know anywhere I can get his music, maybe a contact address, etc.? Later." Okay, I can almost tell you for certainty that he won't mind putting his music back up. I haven't spoken to him since last week after the hurricane. I will contact him just to make sure. I'm positive he wouldn't care. And we'll put it up somewhere. I don't know where. We'll put it up on our site. Somebody will mirror it. Maybe we'll get Nick or somebody to put it on umap.binrev.com. We'll put it up somewhere and post a link in the forum to where it's at. As far as forwarding information, Bland is off the grid. Bland has no forwarding information. But I'm sure he'll be happy to share his music. I know he's going to be spending some more time working on his music, I believe. So if we get anything new from him, we'll pass it on to the listeners.
Sounds good.
Okay, now... email number 2 from Austin, who's been a long-time listener not only of Binary Revolution Radio but of RFA, which I know he was a real big fan of RFA. And he says, "Glad to hear EP61 and that the hurricanes can be outlived. There's a great meeting It was great, excuse me, it was great meeting everyone at Hope and listening to the AS400 presentation. Now I know what all those screens are when I stumble upon those systems. Yeah. Stumble upon.
Yes, stumble upon.
Good choice of words. Again, thank you for your concern. I got quite a few emails, which I really sincerely appreciate. People know that I'm in South Florida and know that that thing came right up my tailpipe. Does that get bleeped? I don't, anyway. And Ivan, it looks like, has missed me, so I'm not getting hit with that one. Two Cat 5s back-to-back would have really, really been crummy. So Ivan has moved off and is someone else's problem now. So thank you for that. And as far as the AS400, I just wanted to use this as to mention on the air that I do still plan to put my AS400 presentation online. Of course, I gave an AS400 presentation at Hope a couple months ago.
Which turned out good. Awesome.
Oh, wow. It had a lot of videos in it. It had a lot of videos embedded into the presentation itself because it's kind of difficult to... Anyway, I won't rehash why I put videos in it, but the video files obviously are pretty large.
I remember you sitting, you coming up to me like a couple hours before you went on, you're just like dead tired. you're like, I didn't sleep last night.
Yeah, I was, I was balls to the wall all weekend. wait a minute, basketballs I meant. I'm changing the context. I was basketballs to the wall. I was, yeah, whatever. Just forget, they're going to bleep whatever they're going to bleep. I don't know what to do about it. Anyway, I was worn out putting that together, but it's got a lot of embedded videos. They can be really large, and I'm just basically, it's been real tricky to kind of manipulate it and get it to a manageable size, and, you know, I got to think about bandwidth, et cetera, et cetera. So I am working on it. It's still on my laptop. I just haven't had time to package it up nice and cleanly and zip it and get it to some kind of, you know, manageable format. So, even though I didn't really ask that directly, I thought I'd use that letter as a launching point to mention that. I had not forgotten about it. Okay, and our final, and this is a really cool email, our final email was from Bovine Feces, who says, and I did get his permission before I would read this on the air, who says, I just wanted to let you know that I am about to complete police training to be a cop here in my home state. I currently work as a private investigator and find the hacker community to be a great source of info as well as kinship. I thought you might like to know that fans of your site and show are actually quite well represented among those I know in law enforcement. Of course, there are those who just don't get it and never will. But as for myself, I thank you for preserving some of our most important rights, the freedom of speech and the pursuit of happiness, a.k.a. our thirst for knowledge and betterment of ourselves.
Which is what it's all about.
Yeah. It really is. Corniness aside, it's all it's about, man. It's all about learning. It's making yourself better. It's just... We do have a right to pursuit of happiness in this country, no matter what people say. I mean, it's just that simple. And if... I don't know.
I thought it was interesting how he mentioned that there is a fellow law enforcement agent, you know, that he knows that listened to the show.
Yeah, and you know what? First of all, we know that there's some crossover with with the different law enforcement. Like, for example, I mean, Lucky 225 can tell us, you know, that we're definitely are followed closely by these private investigator and private investigation agencies and stuff. They use a lot of techniques that a lot of us have found in their line of work and business. So, of course, they, you know, are pretty supportive of us for the most part. I've gotten emails from people in the military, people in law enforcement, government sites. I sent copies of the magazine to Iraq.
Nice.
You know, I've sent copies of the magazine to soldiers that are on the front lines in war, you know? So we are well represented in places that people would be shocked and surprised at. You know, I have sent magazines and gotten emails and communicated with people, and it's really, really a good feeling to know that they're out there. There are people in surprising places that are open-minded, intelligent, and get it.
Yeah.
You know, they really just get that it's just about the pure knowledge and the understanding and the testing and theorizing and what if.
Yeah.
What if. That's like a hacker's favorite word. What if. You know?
Yeah.
And you either get it or you don't. You know, there's always people that don't get it, but, you know, I try to keep hope that there are more people that do.
I honestly was amazed, like, when I was at Hope, because I was selling the magazines for MinRev, and I was honestly amazed at the amount of people that came up to, like, me and, like, either recognized my name from the forums or, like, recognized MinRev. And, like, they were just asking, they're like, hey, what's that, the article, what magazine is this one in, and stuff like that. I was honestly very shocked about that. I didn't know exactly how far the reach was until I talked to, like, half the people at Hope and they knew MinRev.
Yeah, and you know, same thing with me. I met so many cool people that are like, hey, I'm so-and-so from this forums, or I sent you this email, or, oh, I'm the guy that, you know, it's like, oh, yeah, I remember that, thanks for that, oh, yeah, I love that email, or, oh, yeah, thank you for sending, you know, all these people that you put a face to the name, and it was just like, yeah, it was really cool. So, again, some of these, you know, like these private investigators, these government agencies, stuff like that, we're probably not going to be able to put a face to those names. However, it's still good to know that they're out there. You know, I think that's really cool.
And there's a background to anybody that is thinking about doing, you know, something like private investigating or in that area of field. It's always good to have, like, even basic, you know, knowledge of phone phreaking or, you know, basic hacking. You never know when it'll come up.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, studying criminal justice and studying law, which is going to be our topic, as we'll kind of segue here a little bit, is very, very closely associated with hacking for some obvious reasons and some not so obvious reasons. But before we move on to that too much, let's close up the mailbag here and let's go into the personal hacking stories here, the show and tell, as I like to refer to it, just real quickly, because I want to, again, I'm still getting emails of people, you know, worrying about whether I'm going to get hit by Ivan and stuff like that, and I really sincerely appreciate that. The only thing that I was without power for a couple of days, internet, blah, blah, I talked about that. The only other bad thing that came out of it since last episode was that I don't mind, I've said this before, that I work at a university, and we were supposed to register students while the hurricane was coming, or when the hurricane came, I should say. The first one, Francis, that is.
Yeah.
So, obviously, we had to bump things back because of that. Well, we can't really bump it back a whole lot, especially for, like, shortened semesters, half semesters, kids that take night class, students who take night classes that are accelerated. If it's only, like, an 8-week course, we basically lost, like, 2 weeks because of the hurricane. So we ended up basically having to work all weekend.
Wow.
So we did our registration. Kids had to come in. Darn it, I don't say it. Students had to come in. I'm so old. You know what? I'm just so old. I can't. That's how you know you're old, when you say that. It's not meant to be derogatory, but it's like, I must really be old. Oh, man.
Hey, I say kids all the time, even, and I'm still in college. So.
Yeah, I don't. Oh, I just say it way too much. Ugh. Anyway, students that are taking eight-week classes have lost 2 weeks, so we had to hurry up and get this thing registered before they lost too many more. So I spent my weekend working, unfortunately, which really put a damper on some of the projects that I've been working on. There were some that I really hoped to iron out over the weekend, but I come home from work exhausted and try to get some sleep and just catching up on general day-to-day webmastering, if you will. You know, updating pages, checking forums, checking email, writing show notes, etc. Just the day-to-day stuff already fills up my time. If I don't get my weekends, I don't get any progress done on the magazine, the radio server, the radio show, other projects that we're working on. And I'll just mention somewhat briefly as a little bit of a teaser, we do have two projects in particular that are going to be coming up really, really soon. One of them is, hopefully, I don't know if they'll publish it in this issue or if at all, but one of them is tied closely to an article I submitted to 2600. So I'm going to hold off probably till the next issue comes out. If they used it, then we'll probably launch that very soon thereafter, because they'll go hand in hand. They're pretty closely related. And even if they don't use it, we'll probably launch that project soon anyway.
Yep.
Again, I can't quite give it away yet. I know people hate to hear me teasing. And I'll tease again, unfortunately. We have one other project that is kind of, an information exchange. And I'll just kind of leave it at that, I guess. It's just going to be a way to share and learn. And that one will be up pretty soon. I've already installed. It's going to be wiki-based. As much as I hate the word wiki, and I don't even like saying it. It just sounds so ugh.
I think we just need to come up with a new name for it.
Yeah, it's just, once it's up, I'm just going to refer to it by the site name, and if those really industrious among you can go out and figure that out, really. I don't know if you can figure out from the name what it will be, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but you might be able to find it if you're industrious enough.
It'll be good.
And that's really, again, I wish I would have gotten some more done on them so I could give you more than just a teaser. I actually can announce something, but in due time, we'll announce them, hopefully within the next couple of weeks, week or so, if I get my weekends back. And, you know what else I didn't even think about? I should probably mention, I might go into this detail more next week, but I've confirmed that I'm going to Freaknik in Nashville. That's going to be the weekend of October 22nd, that Friday, in Nashville, Tennessee. So I will be at Freaknik. If anybody's going, by all means, we can hook up there. So email me, let me know if you're going to be making that. And that's really all it for me. Basically, I just announced what I haven't done this week. So let me turn it over to you and talk about what you have done. I know you're working on some projects as well that we can't announce, but you can definitely talk about Geek Love Radio. Am I correct?
That's correct. Basically, I don't know if some of you on the forums or not know DJ Mollusk. Me and him basically have put together a radio show. And Geek Love Radio is called. And it airs on Monday nights. By the time you listen to this, you'll probably have to listen to the next episode, which will be the 20th of this month. And we just basically go through love issues, relationship issues. We've seen a lot of, I guess, issues arise on the forums of, like, people pissed off at their girlfriends or boyfriends or whatever. And it's just I think it's just a good way to talk about something new, something new to talk about. Not the same old geek and tech hacking sort of show, but we add a little twist to it.
Gotcha.
And
that's Monday nights, right?
Yeah, Monday nights at 10 Central, so that would be 11 Eastern and 8 Pacific.
Okay, and that's live?
It's live, yes.
Do the show live, and they can, of course, go to geekloveradio.com?
Geekloveradio.com, and we have, every week we update the site. We have listener pictures if you want to submit your pictures.
Oh, come on, is that really your listener pictures?
Yeah, the people that have submitted the pictures so far are real listener pictures. There's some girls on there that have submitted pictures that I know, and some other friends and stuff. And, it's just, we're going to have webcam, hopefully live in the near future once we get some servers set up. And
are you going to have chick sores in the studio?
Yeah, we were going to have one tonight, but unfortunately she didn't show up. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah, but in the future we will have a chick sore show up, and it's pretty big. We were actually surprised. We released a show a week ago today, basically today when you guys are hearing this. And since then, we've had about, 250 downloads, and we really haven't, I guess, advertised much, and that kind of surprised us. So once we get that going and once we get published in some local newspapers and around the area, we're going to get some pretty big hits.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool. Anything else you want to pimp out? The mic's all yours.
Nothing that I can talk about right now, I guess.
How about
projects, but...
How's school?
We can save this.
How's classes?
Everything's good. Photography. I was talking to Stank earlier. It's going pretty good. digital photography and everything like that. That's my area of expertise, if anybody didn't know. And,
you're planning on opening up your own porn site? Is that what that's all about?
No. Although, I guess it would be pretty good money.
Probably.
But, no, it's... Basically, right now, I'm just dealing with graphic design and working on that right now. So
very cool.
Interesting, but, yeah.
Yep, and I guess it's not too big of a teaser to say that some of the projects you might be working on for us will be graphical in nature.
Yes, that would be correct.
Maybe more hands-on with some of our existing projects. But anyway, you know what? Let's make sure we have plenty of time here. Let's go into the main topic, because you and I have something else in common, and that is that we have both studied law, at least a little bit.
That's correct.
I don't have a law degree or anything, but I've taken several law classes, and I believe you have as well?
Yeah, I was a pre-law major, actually, before I started doing graphic design. So I had the whole mock trial experience. I had the whole listening to law professors and everything rant about their speeches. And so I got my finger dipped in it pretty well.
Yeah. Yeah, there's some things I did like about law and some things I did not. Well, I tell you what, let's just start off very simply and very generally and just talk about, when you say law, that's a very broad term. We're talking about the legal system, laws that are passed, acts, whether they're federal level, state level, et cetera, and why is that important to the listener? This is a technology show. This is a show about hacking. This is, you know, we talk about exploits and kernel errors and bugs and stuff like that. You know, why are we talking about law on this show? Why is it important to a hacker? I think it's kind of obvious in some cases, especially recently, without going into details.
Well, like, one of the biggest, I guess right now, when I was talking to my law advisor before, one of the biggest areas in law that has been expanding is cyber law. And just for the fact that there are no written, standardized rules for the internet, just because it's so massive.
Absolutely. It's, you know, we've said how many times, it's a borderless society.
Yeah.
You know, it's a whole world in and of itself, the global interweb.
Exactly.
The internet. And that causes problems in the legal system for multiple reasons. One of the primary ones is establishing jurisdiction.
Oh, yeah.
That's one of the hardest things, and one of the things that the internet really throws a monkey wrench into the whole legal system. Jurisdiction is incredibly important in law.
Yeah.
And let's take the internet out of the equation for just a minute. Law in general and jurisdiction and what that means. Jurisdiction is basically where prosecution or where legal proceedings are to take place. The relevance of where events happen and where cases can be tried and where prosecutions can be made and where they should be made.
Yep.
Now, ideally, the word should is the proper word to use there, but unfortunately, the word could is the one that really takes over.
And it all depends on the severity of the crime, too.
Right, and absolutely. Like, you know, basically, there's something, let's say, there's something called a long-arm statute. And I don't want to throw a bunch of legalese at you and a bunch of terminology, because we all hate to read contracts and licensing agreements and all that kind of stuff. It's so legal mumbo-jumbo that you get bored. But there's a couple words I want to explain. Long-arm statute. And that's important to jurisdiction, because that basically establishes a point of presence in certain places where actions take place. For example, let's say I pick up the phone and order something from a catalog. I order a new router from a company that exists in California. Now, me being in Florida, them being in California, the question arises, a question of jurisdiction. Where does something take place? Where, let's say that I send them my money and they send me a big box full of horse crap. Where do I sue these people at? They're in California, I'm in Florida. Do I contact a Florida court? Do I contact a California court? Do I contact, it was a transmission over the telephone, do I contact the FCC? Do I contact, you know, who has jurisdiction in this kind of situation?
Yeah.
And there are statutes in place and stuff that try to establish that. What ends up happening is, again, it depends on the case. Let's flip the script. Let's say they ship me my router and I don't give them any money.
Yeah.
They're going to try to prosecute me. They're going to try to come after me for their money in the best and easiest way for them. Now, if I live in Florida, Certainly, they don't want to have to come all the way to Florida to try to press charges against me and take me to Florida Small Claims Court, because that would cost them more in airfare to send somebody out here and to deal with all that hassle than it would for the cost of the router. For, you know, I'm making this all up, of course.
Yeah.
But what they can do is jurisdiction can be set in California, and they can actually make me be the one that has to fly out there to defend myself.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of factors come into play. I'm definitely oversimplifying it, but I just want to establish jurisdiction and how important it is.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of this gets tied into because, like, eBay stuff, too. A lot of people just get screwed over with that. So.
Right. And that again, we took it away from the Internet to explain generally what it is, but, yes, taking it back to the Internet, you can see how it becomes further muddied because of that. eBay is a great example. Because you never know where the people are on that, or if they're even real, or just somebody created a new account. That's why it's really important that you get people that are credible. Don't buy from some guy who has, you know, 5 or 10 positive ratings or whatever on eBay, because they hop from account to account. They just use their other accounts to give them praise. They're fake.
Yeah.
You know, you want to find people that are credible and established, see what their return policies are, things like that. Just as some side advice there, since you brought up eBay. But not only that, but any site online, and we're also not talking about just things like fraud, where you order something and don't pay, or they don't deliver, or somebody gets your credit card and charges you too much, or overcharges you, or return, you know, not only stuff like that, but also criminal cases, criminal issues that may arise.
Yeah, I mean, this, like, example, like child pornography.
Well,
area.
That's crossing an even bigger jurisdictional line, because then you're going into federal jurisdiction.
Yeah, that's true.
And that trumps everything else. Okay, so before we go there, let's, again, like I mentioned before, which is easier and better for it to be prosecuted than the situation I explained, Florida versus California. When you go online, you add this whole other thing in there where somebody can claim, listen, I bought this from an online site. I shouldn't be forced to go to California to defend myself or something like that, because I didn't order from California. I ordered from a website.
Yeah.
And that website may be hosted, ironically, in Florida, which would really be funny.
Yeah.
You know, like, you know, or in a co-located server in Detroit, Michigan, or Dallas, Texas, or San Francisco. Well, that isn't California. You know what I mean.
Yeah.
You know, so that really, so now you've got a third point of presence in there. Where does jurisdiction come in? Where did the action take place? Is it a federal thing, since it was purchased over the phone lines, through a modem, through the Internet? See, all of these questions come up. And it's not something that we can sit here and tell you on the air in a radio show, this is who gets jurisdiction, because it's not that simple.
Yeah, I mean, and honestly, like, laws have not been created, for the most part, yet that would decide most cases. And, like, you know, there's no precedent cases. They're being made up as they go.
And they're being fucked up as they go. Ah, darn it, I said a bad word. They're being messed up as they go, too, is what I meant to say.
Yeah.
No, I was right the first time. They're being fucked up as they go, too.
Yeah.
So, yeah, cyber law is an attempt. First of all, it's a label. And trying to establish a new branch of law to answer these type of questions. And not just jurisdictional. You know, that's just one of the biggest, most complex issues of it.
Yeah.
But, And again, I just before we move off too much, was you mentioned earlier about federal. You know, certain things, child pornography, fraud over certain amounts of certain dollar amounts. You know, certain types of online attacks, threats, things like that. National security, as they define it.
Yeah.
Which we won't even go there again. But there are certain cases, of course, when federal jurisdiction steps in and says no. California, hands off. Florida, hands off. Texas, hands off. We'll take care of this one.
Yeah.
And that's bad news. You're in bad shape when the feds get involved. You're in a whole different ball game.
Yeah.
You know, because they only get involved when it's something
big.
Yeah, something big. Now, whether or not it's actually warranted is a whole different question, but usually you're playing a whole different, much more serious game when that happens.
Yeah.
So, cyber law itself is the term, that's the buzzword now. There are classes being taught on cyber law. And as Sub-Zero just mentioned, it's something that's emerging. There's no, quote, cyber laws that you know that are written.
Yeah.
There's no law that says eBay, this is how problems will be handled. This is how things will be mediated if there is a dispute on eBay. eBay can make their own policies and try to enforce them as best they can, but there is no legal precedence set. There is no legality that says you must come here and you must go there and you must keep this information on your users. And, you know, there's no laws that are pinpointing things like that yet. They are being written.
Yeah.
They are being tested. They are being... What's actually happening, unfortunately, is they're trying to apply, because there is no such thing as a cyber law or cyber laws yet, they're trying to apply these old laws that we've had for years.
Yeah, I was just going to mention that.
To the internet. So, yeah, go ahead. Please.
I was just going to say, I mean, like, because there is no certain law that are set up, like, for the internet, a lot of times, like, if you browse online, I mean, you could go to a German website, and what they have there is totally... I mean, they could be selling weed or something, and according to our laws, we're not allowed to purchase it or kind of consume it or whatever. But, I mean, if you're in, I don't know, Germany or whatever, not that I know if Germany actually can.
Yeah, I don't know if they do either, but
I mean,
for this example, it's good.
If you're there, I mean, obviously it's not against the law. So what they have done is they've set national or, like, even state local laws. Like, if you're in a local area and you're accessing, say, like, a website, and you're under 18 and you want to go visit a porn site, like, regionally and locally and statewide, it, like, those laws apply to an extent, I guess. And that's kind of one way that they've been, I guess, like, trying to enforce some sort of law online.
Yeah, and, you know, there's, again, just to throw that jurisdiction monkey wrench, I'll give you a what if, and, you know, you there's no answer to a what if like this. Let's say you're going to Germany. Well, you know what? Amsterdam. Isn't that the one that's famous where the marijuana is legal?
Yeah,
okay.
Canada.
Let's say Amsterdam has a website where they sell marijuana. I don't know if it's legal to sell it on the internet in Amsterdam. They have to have certain places or something. I don't know. I'm not into that whole scene. But anyway, for this example, let's say you order it online and you have it waiting for you, or you send it to a P.O. box in Amsterdam for your Amsterdam vacation next week.
Yeah.
You order it from your house in New York City, online, have it waiting for you, delivered, will call, pick up, whatever, however that works, and then go to Amsterdam, enjoy your fine weed or whatever it is that you want that's completely illegal in the United States, so you have it there on your vacation, and then come home.
Yeah.
Were any laws broken? Because you ordered that from the United States, where it's technically illegal.
Yeah, I guess.
But you didn't have it shipped there. You didn't purchase it. No money may have changed hands. You may have... Does it... You know, there's a difference in law. If the money changed hands because you paid with PayPal... This is a silly example, PayPaling money for drugs to Amsterdam, but...
It's a new revolution.
Yeah, you know, PayPaling money to them may make it a whole different animal than if you would have just reserved it and paid once you got there. Believe it or not, those could be two different things under the law. The laws are very tightly written, very anal retentive in the way that they work.
Yeah.
Well, we're not condoning that. We're not telling people to do that. Let's be careful here.
Yeah.
We're making up examples.
You know, they go buy weed or whatever, but I'm saying in some cases, you know, to show, like...
Yes, just an example.
Yeah. I mean, like, it fluctuates so much on, like, what you can or can't do. It's basically if... Basically, if somebody wakes up on the wrong side of the bed and they want to be an asshole or something, you're just screwed.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. And let's kind of move on a little bit from where jurisdiction is a problem, and that's the long and short of it.
Yeah.
So yes, cyber law is a developing branch of law where they're trying to basically define and come up with ways to address these type of situations, these type of issues. As you can imagine, just from sitting here, you know, freestyling it, we've already come up with how many examples here just making it up, and you can imagine how many more unique situations arise, and 0% of them have been addressed yet. So that's what's going on, and that's why this is a critical time, you know, that we stay away from politics on the show as much as we can, but when it does relate and is going to directly affect us, I think it's very important to talk about topics like this, law and how it affects hackers. Cyber law is being developed, and it's very important for us as hackers to follow it and try to help out when we see something going wrong or see something being misinterpreted, to kind of help laws be developed.
Yeah.
You know, don't fight. I mean, fighting them, yes, but don't try to be productive, and let's try to make the world better. Let's try to develop cyber law. We've got the chance here where it's being developed. Let's be a part of it.
Yes.
You know, let's be involved in it. So that's the reason we're talking about it. Now, the problem, unfortunately, is cyber law, as I have studied it, and as I have read many textbooks on cyber law is, well, is very, very limited because, A, because it's so new, and B, because the majority of, quote, cyber law that is of interest right now is all copyright law.
Yeah.
And intellectual property law. Because that is the biggest headline, that is the biggest concern. When you think law and what the internet is doing as far as law, the first thing that comes up is copyright.
Yeah.
And it starts, you know, back from Napster and blah, 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 movies and MP3s, yada, yada, yada. It's all about intellectual property law. The class, you know, when they say cyber law, it's almost synonymous with the phrase intellectual property law,
yeah,
which includes copyright, trademarks, patents, things like that. Now, you do study jurisdiction, you do study some criminal law, you study things like the DMCA, the Patriot Act, touched on somewhat, but obviously these are new, these have just been recently passed, and, you know, textbooks can't keep up with the changing technology. We all know how technology changes so quickly. Law is not a flexible, it's not very liquid, it's not very flexible in its ability to change. Laws take forever to be written, and by the time you write a law for cyber something cyberspace related or internet related, the technology's changed and things have shifted.
Yeah.
So it's really hard for law, the law community, to, well, I don't know if the law community, the legal system, I should say, to keep up with the changes of the internet.
Yep.
And that's a huge problem. Now, intellectual property law. Actually, if I can, let me see how our time is. I think we might have time to do this. I mentioned, yeah, we got plenty of time, I think. I'm going to read, if I may, here. I mentioned quite a while back that I was going to read some questions from one of my law exams. Unless you had something else you want to add before, because I'm going to go into some reading here.
No, I'll just add it at the end.
Okay. Yeah, I'll read you one of my test questions.
All right.
And then my answer. Now, I'll tell you up front that I got an A on this test. This is a correct answer. And it might make you mad. It might be a little confusing. But, again, let me preface this question by saying that law is very anal retentive. There's no really other way to say it. Law is very strict. And you can think of it like a... I tell you what. Let me just read this question,
right,
and answer, and then we'll touch on it after the fact.
Right.
Okay. This is a question from my first cyber law test, first few weeks of class. And these are all fictional names. It's pretty clear who they're alluding to in some of these things. Alice Paul, a photographer, has many copyrighted images that she licenses to people for use on their website. Softmark is a company that developed a search engine that displays results in the form of small pictures, aka thumbnails.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we know what they're talking about. Softmark included 35 of Alice's images on its database without her permission. Visitors to the site could click on thumbnails of the images and view full-sized images from Softmark's site. Original photographs are definitely copyrightable material, so there could be copyright infringement here. Actually, the question is there copyright infringement here? That's the question as it was worded on the exam.
Yeah.
So, my answer, and again, I'm going to throw a lot of legalese, so I'll speak slowly and try to explain it if there's anything in here tricky, I think. And I said, yes, original photographs are definitely copyrightable material, so there could be copyright infringement here. And analyzing the situation for copyright, we must consider several things. This is a test question answer, so bear with me on the corniness of the sentence structure here. First, we can eliminate obvious exceptions such as text links. There are, however, some things that usually require permission. One of these things that applies here are IMG, or image links, that pull images from another site. This is something that normally requires expressed permission from the copyright holders. it must be determined whether the use of the photographs constitute copying or illicit copying by definition. Now, and let me stop my answer here. Illicit copying or illicit copying by definition. By whose definition? By what definition? By the law. The law has a definition for every one of their terms. So you can look up and see what they consider illicit copying or just plain copying and compare it and see if it applies to the case. So, which is what I said about being very anal retentive. If you look at it and it looks and sounds like their definition, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
Okay, so to continue my answer. A jury would most likely determine that this case shows substantial copying occurred. By the definition, now when I say copying, that seems like an obvious sentence, but I'm saying that to mean, quote, copying, as defined by the law. So yes, as defined by the law, a jury would most likely determine that this case shows substantial copying occurred. The images are clearly used by Softmark, which is the company I mentioned earlier, which I think rhymes with a company called Boogle. And there is little to disprove that. They were not created independently by Softmark, a.k.a. Google. They were clearly taken from the plaintiff's site. Software had access to the original work, and there were substantial similarities. The infringement here is defined by the reproduction right. The infringer, Softmark, made a partial or complete copy on its website.
Yep.
So let me break here also. That paragraph, I tried to make it as English-sounding as I could, but there was a lot of legalese in that paragraph. I was explaining where each part of the definition of copying was violated. The definition includes, for example, having access to the original work. Okay, they did have access because it's a website, correct?
That's correct.
So they had access to it. Were there substantial similarities? Well, if they were exact duplicates, of course there were substantial similarities.
Yep.
You know, they were not created independently by Softmark. So these are all definitions. I'm holding up my fingers. I obviously can't see that in the radio. But you're going through this list of the definition going, did it do that? Yep, did that. Did it do this? Yep, it did that. Did it do that? And you're finding if it fits that definition. In this case, it did.
Yep.
Now, I'll continue. There is an exception clause that allows for copying when, quote, copyright law tolerates some infringements that are fair or necessary for the progress of science and the useful arts, end quote. Now, that quote is from the law. That is an exception in the law.
Yes.
Since Softmark, and this is where I have problems with studying law, and I'll explain after I finish. Since Softmark provides a search engine that provides a useful search... Oh, I'm sorry, a search... Well, I guess that's poor wording on my part. Provides a useful search engine, it may be allowed fair use that is necessary for progress of the Internet. A court would have to determine that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this is my biggest problem with law. We have a definition there. I read you the quote. There is an exception. Yes, they met all the criteria for copying, as I mentioned in my previous paragraph. However, there is an exception clause. Copyright law tolerates some infringements that are fair or necessary for the progress of science and the useful arts.
Yep.
Who makes that determination?
See, you know, that's what sucks, because honestly, when the law, when you take, if you're in trouble and you're in the courtroom and you're, like, facing a judge, it's basically up to the judge to decide, you know, at
exactly.
that point in time, whether he likes you or not, and he's going to read the law in your favor or in his favor or...
Or in the big corporation's favor.
Yeah, and it's basically up at that moment in time. Like, that's what judges are made to do. Their job is to interpret the law and to, I guess, give it out, you know?
Impartially.
Yeah, impartially, I guess. But sometimes it's not very impartial.
Exactly. Their job is to impartially defend or define the law, apply the laws.
Biased again.
Right. So you can see that a judge is a pretty, pretty powerful person. And guess what, people? In case you didn't already know this, you vote for them.
Yeah.
You're the one that puts them in office. So if you're one of those people that only votes for the presidential election and you don't care about the rest, I'm not going to get on that soapbox either.
Yeah, next time you're in court, you know.
Yeah.
Just know that.
I didn't vote for him.
I didn't vote for you, yeah.
I don't acknowledge his jurisdiction over me because I didn't vote for him. That doesn't work. Anyway, the rest of my answer. So, a court would have to determine that. So, and that's the other thing I don't like. In answering this question, I didn't exactly answer the question.
No, you just basically said...
I said, in my opinion, yes, it's progress of the Internet by forming the search engine, in my opinion, but a court would have to make the official determination.
Yeah.
And then I took this as a little step further. If infringement is found and remedies become the question, the usual first remedy is to cease and desist using the copyright material immediately in the form of an injunction. And this, I know our listeners have heard, a site gets a threat from Disney saying, take this down. We are hereby saying that you are using our copyright material without permission. You get a cease and desist order, a C&D. You know, I know everybody's heard of that before.
Some of us haven't gotten some of
them. Yeah.
share that some other time.
Yeah, that's the first step. Let me see, where was I? Okay, compensatory damages would then be considered. Actual damages are extremely difficult to determine in many cases, so statutory damages were established. Now, these are two different, again, definitions of the law, which you have to compare. If the copyright was properly registered, the court can assign $500 to $20,000 in compensatory damages. Since the case does not establish whether copyright was properly registered before the infringement, it is assumed. Willful infringement, again a definition, willful infringement may also carry further criminal penalties. This does not appear to apply here. Now, this is a search engine. It doesn't look like they were intentionally taking it to try to sell. This is the difference between if somebody puts an MP3 on their site because it's their favorite band versus somebody who's trying to write... charge you money to download MP3s from their site. You see the difference of crossing a different line. Willful infringement.
In the law's eyes.
So, where was I? Okay, the four factors of fair use appear to be met here. Now again, fair use is the big buzzword that we're all trying to defend on the Internet in regards to copyright law. They're trying to take away fair use. Well, on my answer to this question, I said that the four factors of fair use appear to be met here. The infringement is not for the purpose of a commercial nature. The copies do not compete with the original work. The amount of infringement appears to be small. Only 35 of the plaintiff's works were copied. And use of the copies were for an internet search engine which performs a scientific use for the community, although court would determine that. So that's the answer to that question. Now, how would the court find? Who would be winning? Who would win? Who would lose? Who would be guilty? I have no idea.
Yeah.
And that's what I hated about it.
Yeah. And it's up to the judge. Right there, right then, at that moment. Depending what side of the bed he woke on.
Right.
You know, he woke up and he didn't get his coffee or, you know, he didn't get some action or something. And
yeah.
It's off for the rest of the day.
Exactly. And it really, it's silly sounding, but it's absolutely true.
I've seen it. I've gone to court a lot because I've interned at, like, law offices and done that whole bit. And it, I mean, just seeing different judges in different days, and it's just crazy.
Yeah, and you know what? That's why also every lawyer in the world will tell you this, and you see it on TV if you watch closely. Everybody that goes into a court of law, you go in dressed to the nines. You go in a shirt and tie and a jacket. You're professional. I mean, look at cases of, like, Eminem. Wasn't he in court for something? He was in shirt and tie.
Yeah.
They know.
Uh-oh.
They know. They're not above the law. They know, although they get away with a lot more, it seems like, but we won't go there. Even when celebrities, famous people, even the biggest thugs and everything, unless they're, you know, unless you're in a prison jumpsuit, which you have no choice, if you're coming into the court of law, you will be presentable. And you will speak with respect to the court because exactly what you just said. That judge decides that he doesn't like the way you looked at him or spoke to him or you didn't come in and present yourself to him appropriately. You're at his mercy.
Yeah.
So you're damn right you better dress right and show some respect in that courtroom.
Yeah. And, I mean, there's always ways to get around it. If it's a severe enough trial, you have the option of a jury trial and stuff like that.
Right.
But, I mean, most times it's just going to be a bench trial. And it's going to be you and the judge. And if he likes you, you're there. If he doesn't, then you're screwed.
Yep. Yep, that's it. That's it. And so, I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, like, along with that, I mean, there's so much to talk about. I mean, especially with law and, like, even courtroom ethics and stuff like that. I mean, there's everything that, I mean, it's so broad of a subject because it's been around for so long. And things are always changing. I mean, laws are always changing. So if you read something, I mean, don't take it too literally because it might be different, you know, in a week or two. Things probably aren't going to last too long.
Well, but see, that's the problem with the law system. Like we said earlier, it cannot keep up with the growth and adaptation of the internet and of technology.
I mean, and with that, like I was mentioning to you earlier, like new agencies like Homeland, you know, Department of Homeland Security, and like FBI, they're all having all of a sudden there's this boom of cyber task force and, you know, cyber agencies that are there to, you know, try to enforce some sort of law that doesn't exist.
Right. And, well, and you know what? Now let me just say this too. I have no problem with that to a certain extent. I think it's great. I think it's needed. I think we do need to add this kind of stuff. My problem is who they're targeting.
Yeah, and especially
don't spend time. Go find the eBay fraud people. Go find the Nigerian email people. Go find the child pornographers. Yeah. Leave me the hell alone.
Yeah, especially when it starts interfering, like, you know, with personal rights of privacy.
Yeah, exactly, and that's a good segue, if I will. We probably got about 15 more minutes we can talk on this. So I think we have time to. This is another test question. This is off one of the last tests. The first question, I chose that one because I wanted to explain that. Basically, you know what? Think of it like a checklist. Okay, think of it like a checklist.
Yeah.
The way law works, it has definitions that are very much like a checklist. This last sentence that I put in as my answer, the four factors of fair use. Legally, the phrase fair use, you have to meet four things. And let's check the four things as applied to this case. The infringement is or is not for the purpose of a commercial nature. Okay, they're a search engine. And let's pretend this is Google because it's kind of what they're alluding to. Google image search. Let's pretend it's that. And they take some company's copywritten stuff and show thumbnails of it. Okay, when you link to it, you go to the site, they just have the thumbnail. So, is it of a commercial nature? I think not. It's a search engine providing a service to the internet community. It's only showing thumbnails. It doesn't sell the pictures. However, that's my interpretation. A court may interpret it and say, you know what? No, they don't sell the pictures, but they do sell advertising on the site.
Yeah.
Google has ads on it. I don't know how a court would find in that. I would find, if I were a judge, I would say no. I don't think it's of a commercial nature.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not. The infringement is not for the purpose of a commercial nature. The infringement itself, using these pictures, no, I don't think it is.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's one checklist as far as my opinion. Does it match the court's? I don't know. Number two of the four, the copies do not compete with the original work. Do they compete with the original work?
No, because they even are linked in most of the pictures from, like, what I've seen.
Yeah, it says that they are thumbnails. It clearly says in this case they only have thumbnails.
Yeah.
And when you click on that thumbnail, it doesn't take you to a large version on Google or on this imaginary site. It takes you back to the original site.
Yeah, the original picture.
In my opinion, the copies do not compete with the original work. So on my checklist, I just marked off the second one.
All
right. Did random insert random judge here agree with the same thing? I don't know. Everybody interprets it differently, even though they try to clearly define. Number three, the amount of infringement. That's the third one. Well, that's kind of a vague question because there's no set number on infringement. Because, you know, five pictures, is that considered a significant amount? Is five pictures out of 5 million significant? Not really. Is five pictures out of 10 significant? Well, yeah, that's half.
Yeah.
Okay, so in this case, said only 35 of the plaintiff's works were copied. I said 35 out of their entire collection of photography is a very small amount, so I check off for the checklist that is not a significant amount of violation.
Yeah.
Again, would a judge feel the same way? 35 out of how many is the question that I asked.
Yeah.
35 out of 70 is half. 35 out of 35 is all. 35 out of 3,500, you know. So me, I've got three check marks.
Yeah.
Number four, the use of the copies. What was the use of them? There is an exclusion, as I mentioned earlier, for something that performs a scientific use for the community. To me, a search engine that helps me find what I'm looking for my research, whatever it happens to be, to me, that is a scientific use for the community. So for me, I marked off all four checklists for fair use.
Yep.
So I don't think these people should be punished for putting that on their way. I don't think Google should be punished for having thumbnails of an artist's copywritten stuff on their site as thumbnails, as the way we've talked about it. The question is, will a judge, and whatever judge it happens to be, feel the same way?
Yeah, and even, like, the thing with that, like, even if, I mean, you said, you checked off four of the four, but, I mean, even if one of them is checked off, sometimes in the law's eyes, it's enough for, like, probable cause. So.
Yeah, if you don't have all four of those, if any one of them is missing,
yeah
they're going to find the other way. And the other thing to keep in mind, too, is, and you know, so you don't totally lose faith or lose hope that you're at some judge's mercy, this is why we have an appeals process.
Yeah.
And this is why, as much as it has problems, our legal system still is the greatest in the world. You have recourses.
Yeah.
It's getting worse. It's going downhill, but you do have recourses. If the first judge is a complete dick, darn it, is a complete jerk, or does not find a way, or you feel that you weren't given fair trial, we have legal recourses that you can take this to the next level, have it appealed, and have it overturned by someone else who can see it, you know, see it more clearly, or someone else who understands better.
Definitely.
Because the other thing is, a lot of these judges are old. They don't have experience with the internet. They don't understand. They're just as media brainwashed as a lot of other people out there.
Yeah.
They don't know the truth, so...
They don't know what to do.
Exactly.
This is the first time they've seen a lot of these cases, so exactly. They have to interpret it to the laws that they know and understand.
Yeah. All right, I'm going to try to do this one much more quickly. This is a privacy case. This is one of the last tests.
Okay.
And this is a shorter one.
Okay.
Two employees were fired from a firm after the firm discovered that they had been sending personal messages during a period of 4 months. They obtained this information by using a, quote, supervisor password to access backup tapes. Is the lawsuit filed by the employees valid in its claim that the company violated their privacy rights?
Huh.
Okay, now first of all, there's a little red herring there that they used a password to access backup tapes.
Yeah.
Don't let that throw you off. The lawsuit is from the employees against the company saying that they violated their privacy rights.
Yeah.
Now this is one of the biggest discrepancies in law. Because you got to rule out, as much as I hate to say it, morality. Morality has no place in law, unfortunately, and that's sad. That's shameful, and that's the biggest shortcoming of our legal system.
Sometimes it helps, though.
No.
Depends on the case.
Maybe. Maybe. Well, yeah. Yeah, I kind of know what you're saying, yeah, but I think most of them are not.
Yeah.
Anyway, this particular case... And this may scare a lot of people. Further facts of the case state that the employees considered their personal email to be private, partially because the email system could only be accessed with a password. Well, yeah, most email systems can only be accessed with a password to your account, right?
Yep.
They also state that they were never warned that their email might be monitored. The employer claims that both employees should have known that email is never private, and they were both computer literate enough to know that. All of these facts give us several things to consider when judging whether privacy rights were violated. Sorry, that's my corny answer again.
Yeah.
PII, and I've said this on the show in the past, and now I'm going to explain this is an actual application of personally identifiable information. PII, personally identifiable information, is an important term in the age of the Internet. This term refers to any information that can personally identify an individual. With the Internet, PII becomes very easily found and transmitted. Workplace surveillance and email privacy are very valid and legitimate threats to an employee's privacy. Quote, online surveillance is generally permissible if the employer owns the network and computers.
Yeah.
End quote.
Yep.
That's a quote from the law. That is your laws. That is our laws. In the United States, that is. For our listeners overseas, we're probably boring. This ownership allows employers to maintain confidentiality of trade secrets and prohibit personal uses of equipment. The ECPA, Electronic Communications Privacy Act, provides exceptions for workplace surveillance of email and internet activity. Smaller firms using public email systems face more risk for unlawful interception. Meaning smaller firms, meaning if you, let's say you've only got an office of 8 people, so you just use Hotmail.
Yeah.
Guess what? They don't have right. They don't have a right. They don't have as much right to track that because it's not their equipment and their software.
Yeah.
So that's a little different. This case, here, and I'm going to read my answer. As much as I hated writing, it hurt to write this. This case is surprisingly simple. And I wrote this on my test. I didn't know how my instructor would take this. These are my exact words. This case is surprisingly simple. While morally apprehensible, the company is perfectly within their rights to monitor employees' activities while they are using their equipment. That's my answer. That was my answer of the test.
And
I got an A.
Yeah, it's because it's a, I mean, it's kind of honestly true. I mean, they got to, I don't know. It's really sticky.
Yeah.
It kind of brings up a point, though. Like, say we, all right, like, say, for instance, like, Gmail, all right? Like, everybody's into the whole Gmail thing. Like, and does that allow Gmail to go through our internet? I mean, like, our email accounts to find, like, you know.
Okay.
I was going to segue into, like, the Patriot Act, but I don't know if we have time.
See, that's an excellent question because that's something that just came up recently when Gmail started offering the service.
Yeah.
They claim in their rules, and here again, jurisdiction, when does one right overwrite another one? Contract law comes into play because when you enter into this contract with Gmail, you are agreeing to their licensing agreement. That is contract law. You have agreed, you have entered into a contract with Gmail following their rules for use. Their rules for use say that they will not read your email. They admit that they have bots that scan through it, but they do not personally read any email unless it's been proven or it's been something that there's... I don't remember the exact wording. I'd have to bring it up. But unless they had a law enforcement agency threatening them that they had... that illegal activity was going on.
Yeah.
Things like that. They had exceptions in there to cover themselves, of course.
Yeah.
You know? But they claim not. However, just because they claim that in that contract, is that legally binding contract allow them to overwrite an actual law set somewhere?
Yeah.
What if a business that I work at, what if I worked at Microsoft and I was using Gmail? I'm on Microsoft's network. They have the ability to monitor if I'm using their equipment or something like that. They may say that because I'm using their network, they are allowed to sniff all my packets and read my email, even though it's on Google, who doesn't have it. So there's so much gray area and so many questions here that it's just amazing.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, how long has Gmail been out? A few months?
Yeah.
Do you really think the court system's caught up with this or going to address this?
They probably haven't heard about it yet.
Not until somebody gets hurt and somebody's abused by Gmail or whoever doing it, if that happens, and I hope it doesn't.
Yeah.
But again, this comes back to the inflexibility of the legal system. By the time they come up to make this law for Gmail, it will have been a moot point. Someone's life may have been changed because of it. Somebody could have been embarrassed. Somebody could have been... had fraud committed against them, and there's no law to protect them because the court system is so slow in coming up with these things.
Yeah, exactly.
So.
So much to talk about.
Yeah. Well, we've got, let's see, we can probably go 10 more minutes, including the closing, so if there's anything else that you wanted to bring up, those are just two questions off of different tests I took over the semester. I have others. I don't know if they're worth reading on another show some other day, but I thought that would show, I wanted to emphasize the checklist nature of law.
Yeah.
And it really is a checklist. They go through and they blindly, and that's why not having a wide, you know, they have blinders on. You get some judge who's going to sit there with his fingers out and go, yep, he did that, yep, he did that, yep, he did that. They don't have that mindset to go, yeah, but it's different on the internet. Yeah, but it's not exactly the same thing. Yeah, but things have changed. They don't think that way.
Yeah.
All they go is, yep, 2, 3, 4 checks, you're done. It's that simple. So the inflexibility. Secondly, I use that second example to show why it's important that we as hackers also respect and appreciate our privacy.
Yeah.
Let me read this again. This case is surprisingly simple. While morally apprehensible, the company is perfectly within their rights to monitor employees' activity while they are using their equipment.
Yeah.
That, you should be...
Think about it. I mean, all your, like an ISP, like if you're going through your internet service provider, they got the right to go through your traffic if they want to. You're using their equipment.
That's right. That's right. Now, and that's why when you hear stories of ISPs that are refusing to give up people's PII, or personally identifiable information, the DMC, you know, when the, I'm sorry, not the DMC, when the RIAA started hammering down these ISPs, going, give me the IP address of these people, give me the names of this. Who was it? Was it Harvard or one of the, I think it's one of the Ivy League schools. They went and said, we found users in your university's network that are sharing it. Give us their names and addresses. And they gave them a big middle finger and said, no, we're not going to. And that, to me, is something to be applauded, that there are people that are standing up and refusing.
Yeah.
Now, they go, the next step, of course, the recourse for the RIAA and the MPAA is to then get a court order and force them, you know, and all this is being tested now. We don't know. There is no law. There is no precedent. So, hey, we're winging it. That's basically the way they're looking at it.
And just FYI, everybody, they are looking like, I mean, it's obvious that the RIAA is cracking down on people, but, like, even the MPAA, like, I have a personal example. Do we have time to go through it?
Yeah, we got 5 minutes.
All right. At my old college I used to go to, me and a friend, basically, we set up a trap, basically, for the MPAA. We
wanted this is a great story. Yeah, I'm going to give you time. Definitely go through this.
All right, so we were wondering, we wanted to know if they were actually monitoring, because we got emails from our administrator saying that, yeah, they were monitoring our network, and they were going to check to see if anybody was, sharing movies or whatever. So we wanted to see if this was true. So my friend and I basically set up a webcam and recorded 2 hours of his desk chair. Basically just so we had a file that was large enough, a movie file that was large enough, the size of a movie. And we shared it online. I forget what we shared it as. I think it was... I forget the name of the movie. Either way, we shared it online. About 2 days later...
Well, I'm sorry. You gave it the name of a movie.
Yeah, we gave
it
the name
of a real movie that was in theaters, right?
Yeah, it was in theaters. So we named the file the name of this movie. And... within 2 days, my friend's internet was shut off. We shared it on Kazaa, just simple, like, you know. Within 2 days, though, it was already shut off, and he had a letter of cease and desist, and his, I guess, basically the school threatened to just kick him off the network for the rest of the year, and it was, like, a big mess just for this one file that we shared. But, I mean, we basically did it just as a trap. And, like, I was friends with my network administrator, and, well, both of them.
Always good.
Yeah, we both were, because we had run-ins with him in the past, actually. But we talked to him. We sent him the email. We sent him a copy of the movie, and we showed him what was going on, and we told him what we were doing. He basically just contacted the MPAA back and said, hey, you know, these kids aren't doing anything illegal.
Yeah, you got owned!
Yeah, and, like, I was talking to the one of the lawyers from the EFF about it, Hope, and she loved the story. She was going to use it, she said, possibly.
Yeah, that's a great story. That's, you know, I think we even said on the show back then, like, what if somebody did this, you know?
Yeah.
It's very easily done, and they didn't check it, and, you know, I guess it's over with now. I can say I would have a little concern that they would claim, okay, fine, you didn't violate our copyright on the movie by putting it up, but you violated our copyright on the title of the movie.
On the title, yeah.
You know, I don't know if that's possible or not, but I would be worried of that aspect of it.
Yeah, honestly, at the point in time, I think they were just worried about people sharing movies. They weren't...
Right.
So.
But then again, you know, if it was a movie like, for example, a historical... Troy. Wasn't there a movie of Troy out with Brad Pitt or something?
Yeah.
Troy. You know what? You can't copyright the name Troy. Sorry. It's a historical place. It's not... You can't copyright that. So if it was something like that, you'd be safe.
Yeah.
But if it was, I don't know, fried green tomatoes or whatever. Was there a movie called that?
Yeah, there was.
Yeah, if there's some movie that was very, you know, clearly is named on come after a book or something. But yada, yada, yada. All right, well, you know what? I guess we probably ought to wrap it up here. We do have a couple minutes if you wanted to touch on anything else. Like, you know what? You found a website, a URL.
Yeah.
that, what was that one about? We tiny URL'd it to something. What was that? And what was the site, and where did we tiny URL it to?
I found a site, basically, it was the National Conference of State Legislators, and it was just a site I found that had, the title of the site is Computer Hacking and Unauthorized Access Laws, and it goes through every state, and you can click on your state, and it'll show you all the laws that are, I guess, basically jurisdictional within your state. It'll tell you, like, I'm looking up my state right now. It has definitions of computer damage. It has definitions of computer damage in the first degree, second degree, third degree. I mean, like, theft, everything, basically, that you probably want to know about it. And, I mean, other states, have the same laws, so if you...
Well, no. Other states have similar laws.
Similar laws, yeah.
Right,
but
don't,
I mean,
don't say the same. Be very careful.
Yeah, similar, yeah, exactly. So, but on this website that I'm sure you'll have an URL for...
Yeah, we have a tinyurl.com, WLDF.
WLDF.
To check that out. And you can go look up your individual state and see what the hacking laws, quote, hacking laws for your state are.
Yeah, unauthorized access laws, they're called.
Right. So, and again, just to reemphasize, this is important that you just said it has the definitions, and we just showed you how important definitions are. You know, and that's how you hear all about, quote, loopholes in the law. If that definition does not clearly say certain things in it, you know, if it says specifically computers and you use a phone, you may be, you know, that may be a loophole.
Yeah.
Usually they're pretty good. They say computers or computer-related systems. They make it very vague intentionally so that they get you. So,
yeah, electronic devices.
Exactly. They word it. They're pretty good at wording it to try to avoid loopholes, but at the same time makes it overly broad. So it's definitely hard to find a happy medium. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that it's an easy task by any means.
Yeah.
But very important. And, again, those are the individual state laws. Some of them, federal jurisdiction trumps every one of them. If the feds get involved, they will override anything that you're reading there.
Yep.
So.
Exactly.
And it really should be the other way around, if you ask me.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's close on that note, because I do think we got the point across.
All right. I just have one thing I want to say.
Sure, by all means.
And if anybody has questions or comments or anything, feel free to contact me. And I have access to law libraries and law professors, and if anybody has any pressing questions, if you're sitting there in a legal bind, don't contact me. Find a lawyer, because,
right,
honestly, go to a lawyer first, no matter what, because no matter how much you try to talk your way out of things, it's never going to work. So if you're in a legal bind, talk to a lawyer. If you have questions, contact Stankerme, and I'm sure we could find answers to your
questions.
Absolutely,
and they can contact you at your new email address.
Exactly, subzero@binrev.com.
Welcome again to DDP, my friend. Now, I'll just give a couple quick shouts out. I want to give a shout out to Sumerian from Rant Radio. Very cool guy, and I'm very impressed that he actually takes the time out to listen to the show occasionally. I'm sure he doesn't listen to all of them, but it's nice to know that he listens occasionally and appreciates the show. So shouts to him, and I think you can back me up saying give a little shout to DJ Mollusk.
Yeah.
And it's all yours. Take it away.
I was just going to give shouts out to Mute and 813 Air, too, that they've helped us out with GLR, Geek Love Radio. And that's about it.
All right. And we'll remind people to send this email, radio@binrev.com.
Yeah.
Feedback on the show, or if you have questions or want to add to what we've been talking about. And articles for issue 2.2 of Binary Revolution magazine, send to articles@binrev.com. We want to get this started. We want to stop taking articles at the end of September and wrap up this issue and get it started so we can get it out by the end of the year.
Yeah.
But no one's sending in articles. And you know what? I'm not going to go into a rant. I'm a realist.
Excellent.
And I deal with reality. And you know what? If you don't send in articles, I'm not asking anymore. If people want to send in articles, I think we've made it abundantly clear. articles@binrev.com. It's on the website. It's on the forums. It's in the magazine itself. You know, if people aren't interested in helping out and keeping the magazine going, this might be the last issue. I don't know what else I can do. If people don't believe in the magazine, and I can't keep writing the whole thing. You know, I already write too darn much. Nobody wants to hear me all the time. I don't know where to go from here. I just want to say that. Send in articles if you really want the magazine to live. There's no other way to put it. And our closing music today is from DayZ. I don't know if it's D-A-Y-Z-E. Days or DayZ?
I'd say DayZ.
Yeah, DayZ. She contacted me and listened to the show and knows we closed with music, independent music. So she sent me this track called Corporate Climate. So take a listen to this. And once again, Sub-Zero, thank you very much for being on the show. And welcome to DDP. So why don't we officially close this out the same way we always do and tell everybody that we will see them next week, same hack time.
Same hack channel.
A strong delusion will take over the minds of men, so they will willingly believe the lies. Victoria's Secret, she uses prison labor to keep it. My cousin Jay don't see a penny. Uncle Sam's queen won't lend him any. Marlboro Lights is just as heavy. A 59-cent burger, that's McScary. Designer virus, ironically called help. AIDS to eliminate my people and their health. That space between slavery and sweatshops, the gap. Just do it, air any more place on the map. Cuff them, beat them, chase them, deport them. But our ancestors' bones was freely in the British Museum. Got milk, got antibiotics, got hormones. I've been double-crossed by Exxon, been double-squared by Chevron. Our code's the cornerstone, the builders rejected. I know, cause the logo says it. Verizon's brain tumors on the horizon. Don't just let my brain fry, I want a singular DUI. Cause light, cause dark, cause your liver ugly. Heineken, Echnisa, Fileka, Unreigli. Access my hood on Hollywood. Spend a little extra every time on the poverty line. What makes De Beers diamonds blink? The dead soldiers, yeah, his spirits sink. All O-N-R-H-O, Lungo, that's London, Rhodesia, should exist no more. Do my people got amnesia? Disney's writing, skillfully hiding, triple six. Kids and the devil should not mix. Snapple left the real juice in the apple. Took a bite of knowledge and sold to Microsoft. With the ring of infinity, is that Intel or Satan inside? We rebuke thee, cover girls in liquid foundation. Give rise to a floating nation, free from darkness by the sun disguised as a shell. So ring the Liberty Taco Bell. Cocaine, cola, Africa works for ya. Pay their HIV insurance, won't ya? Eat snakes called Mars in rehearsal. Please give Ron M&M's candies a commercial. Stop calling your private piggy banks federal. Reserve your promise notes for promise keepers. Visa and MasterCard, fools blowing up. Straight bragging, brought their Beamer. You know what? No Hitler Volkswagen seems Sima. For a minute, you belong to the Department of Commerce. Check your birth certificate. You're just an object, that's your curse. I belong to the Queen, I'm a subject. It's just reversed. Others hail to republics and regimes, all part of the same grand ugly scheme. Your labor, your taxes, your credit, all the rest. These you make pay for and buy their products plus interest. Then you're pressured to make foliage. Like me, graduate college, become alumni, illumini, illuminati, illuminated, invisible government related. Wear a robe like a priest, wear a robe like a judge. Reach a new degree. To think and work for the beast. Tell all the disciples the queen owns the copyright to the Bible. Bring back the books of Joshua and Enoch so we can be more adequate rivals. Fight fallen angels in the physical world for survival.